Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a prayer time. We had a total of $470 given to Mission Dignity, but you can still give if you would like to, and just designate your check or your cash, put it in an envelope or something, just designate it to Mission Dignity. But I just want to thank, and I know Brother Tim does, and everybody wants to thank everyone for, that's an important mission and all for our retired pastors and all, and it is very, very good thing to donate to. Sunday, next Sunday, June the 30th, we'll have the Lord's Supper, observe the Lord's Supper during the worship service. We have a fellowship lunch after the morning worship service. It's in recognition and honor of the 4th of July, which will be here in a week, a little over a week. It's hard to believe that summer just started, but summer's half over. Does that make sense? The solstice was what, the 21st? And but summer's half over. So we want to encourage you in celebration of the 4th of July. What colors can we wear next Sunday? Somebody said, Josh said, red, white, and blue. So I encourage you, if you can, to come, and if you can't, wear red, white, and blue. And on that. We still need to restock the food pantry. Please help by donating non-perishable items. Ask the preacher what question would you like to ask. Write out your question the best you can using the topic versus doctrine. Not a must, but write your name just in case the pastor needs clarification. This Wednesday night, right, Brother Tim? He will start on Wednesday night at prayer meeting. He'll start answering those questions. So if you put a question in, he hadn't given anybody a heads up of what questions he's going to be answering, and he probably won't. But if you ask a question, I would encourage you to be here Wednesday nights, and you won't get Tim's answer, Brother Tim's answer. You'll get what Scripture says, God's answer, okay? So please remember that. July the 18th is our men's meeting here at church at 7 p.m. Don't forget, ladies, July the 23rd is the Titus II ladies meeting at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. I'm sure I'm going to let Brother Tim, whatever you want, when you come up, say about VBS, if you want to say anything, then I'm sure he'll say that. But I do want to thank everyone for participating in VBS this week. Any other announcements? I think that covers it. Birthdays.
We didn't, it was within the week, huh?
Okay.
Well, Janice, Lindsay, and Ashley Starling, happy birthday. Let's all sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday.
Continue to remember Paul Crosby and his family. Remember his family and the loss of Brother Paul. And remember Miss Phyllis. She still has several issues going on that she has to get taken care of on top of losing her husband. So remember them in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come today, Lord, as always. We want to just just thank you, Lord, for this past week and the vacation Bible school, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being present throughout the week, Lord. We know he was here, Lord. We saw the results of it, Lord. And I just thank you for the church family here, Lord, coming together, Lord, and helping throughout the week, Lord. And I thank you for the children that came. I thank you for the parents that allowed the children to come to hear God's word taught throughout the week, Lord. Lord, I do just want to lift Phyllis and Paul's family up to you today, Lord, in the loss of Paul, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that in the coming weeks, Lord, and I know you will, you'll be with Phyllis and Jeremy and the rest of the family, Lord. And I just want to lift Phyllis up to you today, Lord, as she still deals with several medical issues, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you will just be with the doctors, Lord, and be with her as she goes through this tough time, Lord. But, Lord, I just want to lift up Brother Tim to you today, Lord, as we worship you today and come together to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that with all the distractions that are going on, Lord, it is summertime, Lord, and vacations and plans, celebrations for the 4th of July and things like that, Lord, that we can just take the time this morning, Lord, to put all that out of our mind, Lord, and focus on Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, this morning, it is wonderful to be in the family of God, isn't it? And meet here on Sunday to worship Him. So let's all stand, and our call to worship this morning will be the family of God. We'll stand through two times, and while we're singing, if you'll turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, aren't you glad you got to see me this morning?"
No, I'm sorry. Say,
make them feel, make everybody feel welcome.
Thank you.
Father, just thanking you again for the way you bless us this time to come together to worship our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the Bible school period we just went through. We just pray that it's just the beginning. And Lord, we come to you today praying for the service. We just pray for an outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the gift. We pray that we'll use it to glorify your kingdom and you'll bless the ones that give. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Verses in chapters 1, 2, and 3, but I want to start out with some questions. How many of you think we need to have wisdom in the White House? Raise your hand. Anna, how many of you think we need to have wisdom in the Senate? And how about in the House of Representatives? Put your hand up. How about in the governor's mansion? How about in the mayor's house? You don't have a mansion, I heard. But anyhow, you know, we often think that people who are in high positions should have a lot of wisdom. But what about us? What about the decisions we make? They say the average person makes about 20 plus thousand decisions a day. Now, some of them, whether to brush your teeth or not, that's on you. You know, or whether to drink milk or coffee or milk with your coffee. You know, it's up to you. But there are choices that you make all day long that some of them really doesn't change anything. But then there are decisions that can affect your finances, they can affect your marriage, they can affect your attitude, they can affect your church attendance, they can factor in a whole lot of consequences. Because here's the thing, we all have choices to make. But every choice we make comes with a consequence. You can't get away from that. Every choice we make has a consequence. So we need to have wisdom in our daily lives. We're going to go for the next few weeks over on Sundays. We're going to look at the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to preach it verse by verse. I'm going to do more topic by topic. And today we're just simply going to look at the need to get wisdom. We need to get wisdom, but where do we find that at? Why do we need wisdom? Well, how many of you have ever made a bad decision? That's why we need wisdom. Because sometimes what we think is not reality. All you got to do is look at commercials. And I know I bash commercials all the time, but they put the good-looking stuff on there. When you go to buy it, it doesn't look the same. I don't know if y'all have that problem, or they just do it to me. But none of us are as smart as God is. How many of us know everything God knows? Probably not many of us. Some of us may think we do. How many have made decisions that have strongly impacted your life, either for the good or bad? We've all done that. So the point is, we need to get wisdom. But the question comes down to, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, one definition says it is the ability to live life skillfully. Another definition is the ability to use knowledge in a proper way. Because here's the thing, you can have a whole lot of knowledge and not have any wisdom. I won't call any names, but I went to school with a girl who was very, very book smart. But if you told a joke, she'd sit there for 5 days trying to figure it out. She wasn't blonde either. she couldn't wrap her head around certain things, you know, and so the issue is wisdom and knowledge are two different things, because I can know everything in the world about everything, but if I don't know how to use that knowledge in a way that glorifies God, then I'm not being wise. I'm going to give you a definition of what I believe wisdom is. Wisdom is the ability to do things God's way. when we do things God's way, we are being wise. Any other time that we are not using our knowledge in a way that is glorifying and honoring God, we are really being foolish. We're not being wise at all. So we need to make wise choices. For a believer, choices are important. Why? Because everybody's watching what you do. They're watching where you go. The choices you make, the things you do, the things you say, the things you look at, everything comes with a consequence. So we need to be wise as God's children. Someone once said that if knowledge and understanding were to have a baby, its name would be wisdom. Because it is, we need to have knowledge, but we also need to have understanding so that we know how to apply what we know in a way that matters. And when we do that, we call that wisdom. If God created this cosmos, as we would say, the earth, the moon, the stars, the sun, all the galaxies that you look at, and I know I've made this point before, but every time they look further and further with a Hubble telescope, what do they see? More and more galaxies out there. There's no end to it. And so if we know a God, if we serve a God who has created all these things and has kept them by the power of his word and in his hand, who do we need to go to for issues of life? God has all the answers. If you were to give me a new car and tell me to go out there and take it apart, I could probably take it apart, but I would never know how to put it back together. See, that's what many of us do with our lives. God tells us to do certain things, and we want to do them our way, and then when everything falls apart, who do we turn to? We need to be wise in following God's plan and following God's path first, and then hopefully everything won't fall apart. But we're good at destroying things. But God is a creator God. God causes everything to come into being out of nothing. Ex nihilo is what the word is. Out of nothing, he's created all this, and he has set it in motion, and yet we think that he's too busy to answer us in the time of need. Matthew chapter 6:33, don't turn there, but we're going to look mainly at Proverbs. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek God last. Seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, we need to seek how God wants things done. We need to seek to do it the way he wants it done. Because he's not going to tell you to do something bad. Right? And all these things shall be what? Added to you. Wisdom, first and foremost, starts with seeking after God. My Bible tells me that no man seeks after God. God had to seek me out first, or I'd still be running. Amen? Can't turn to him until he calls you by name. And when he calls you by name, then you turn to him and begin to seek him out. And when, as we seek him out, we seek to do his will, his way. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I want to read these. We've got 1 through 4. It says, Proverbs, Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Listen to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the end. It's the beginning of what?
Of
knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, I hated anybody to tell me what to do. How about y'all? Mm-hmm. Especially your mom and dad, right? Come on, wrench her. Now, why is that? Because we often think we know everything. And that we think that everybody else don't know anything. That's why we always got to talk. Because when we talk, we're trying to tell them what we think. That we got a better plan than they do. Now, here's my first thought here. Point number one, I got 12 thoughts, so we're going to take off running in just a minute. Wisdom starts with fearing the Lord. If you're not saved and you want to be wise, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Plain and simple. That's where it starts. Because if you don't get that basic thing down, then the Bible tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We need to trust God. We need to accept Him, His gift, His Son, Jesus, and the forgiveness, grace, mercy, love that comes with fear. We need to fear the Lord. But oftentimes we have the wrong perception of what the word fear means. I grew up, as you know, in an independent Baptist church, and we had what they called hell, fire, and brimstone preaching. Y'all know what that is? Mm-hmm. Where you literally think the floor's going to open up and you're going to fall into hell. Yeah. And you're hoping God reaches down and snatches you out of the flames. Do you think God wants us to think of Him that way? God is a loving God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? And yet, oftentimes, we think the word fear means that I'm just supposed to stand up here and shake, and that's all good. Well, we turn the air conditioner about 32 degrees, and we'll all be shaking, right? So we'll all be saved. But no, that's not the point. The point is we need to have a reverence, an awe of who God is and what God has done. Not because God has the power and the authority and the sovereignty to say, okay, Tim, I'm just going to squash like a bug. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a God who desires to have a relationship with every single person who has ever been conceived. That is His will. But the thing is, as I said earlier, oftentimes we are foolish in thinking that we don't have anybody to answer to. Our fear of God doesn't come out of a terrifying opposition to God. Now it should if you're lost, but as a believer, as somebody who's trusted in God, our fear of Him is that reverence type fear, like a boy who loves his daddy to death. See, or a girl, for that matter. You feared Him because you knew what? When He told you to do something, you did it. Or there was what? Consequences. There was a choice, right? There was consequences. But you knew that your daddy loved you, he protected you, he provided for you, he sustained you, he nurtured you, he did everything he could for you. And you feared Him not out of just, now I understand there are just some dysfunctional families that the kids, when daddy comes home, they run. Not playing, they run because they're scared. That's the wrong kind of love. That's the wrong kind of fear. God wants us to have the fear that we come to Him no matter what is going on in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. The Lord says, oh, that they had a heart Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments. For what reason? That it might be well with them and their children for just one generation. Fred, you see, it was a love, it was a respect, it was awe of God, and how the parents react to God is how usually the children are going to react to Him. Right? If they fear God in a righteous way, then their children would follow in their footsteps. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you fear something, let me just give you an illustration. One day, I don't remember how old I was. I wasn't 16 yet because I hadn't left home. But anyhow, my mom was in her bathroom in the master bedroom, and she was blow drying her hair. And I snuck in there, and she was sitting there doing her hair, and she turned, and I did that to her, and she just stood there shaking and stomping her feet. She couldn't go anywhere. Fear has a good thing, because if you see a rattlesnake, what do you need to do? You need to shoot him, right? You need to run, get a gun, then come back. You need to do that. But there's a good fear, because fear gives us a sense that there's danger. God has given us that emotion to sense when something is not right and we need to back away from it. But at the same time, there's that good type of fear. There is a type of fear that paralyzes people, just like my mom in the hairdryer. She couldn't move, you know. God doesn't want us to have the type of fear that doesn't move us. He wants us to have that healthy fear that we respect Him and honor Him and glorify Him in all of our decisions. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed to where we don't move. Because, well, let me give you the illustration about sharing your faith. You don't answer this question, you know the truth, and God knows the truth. How many of you are afraid to share your faith because of fear? It paralyzes. I might say the wrong thing. I might get it right. And so we don't witness effectively because we have a fear of messing up. So we just don't do anything. Can I get a witness? But a healthy fear of God knows that if I'm sharing my faith with somebody, the Holy Spirit's going to use me and talk to me. And even if I don't get it exactly right, God can make it right. I'm just supposed to be obedient to share, and it is God and His power through the Holy Spirit to lead God and lead people to Him and guide them in the decisions they need to make. Fear. How do we find out about God? We find out who God is by reading His Word. Okay, Old Testament and New Testament. We talked about Sunday school. Old Testament and New Testament, because you wouldn't have the New Testament if there wasn't Old Testament. Right? They all go together. Now, the Bible tells us about what to do and what not to do. But being a believer is more than just a list of do's and don'ts. It's about doing it and doing it for the right reason, with the right heart, right attitude. As I think about that, and I think about how God wants us to be, as we read more and more about who God is, we find out more about His character. We find out that, yes, He is a wrathful God, but that's not the only characteristic that He has. He's a loving, patient God. He's a merciful, gracious God. So we see the big picture. But the problem is, I believe it was Jonathan Edwards, Martin Luther had the opinion of God when he was a young boy that all God wanted to do was just sit up there and hit him on his throne and bang the gavel and send everybody to hell. He was scared to death of God, but then as he grew in his faith, reading the Word of God, he realized how much more of a merciful, gracious God he really is. But here's the scary part. The first commandment in Exodus 20, verse 3, tells us that you shall have no other gods before me. Right? Is the God you serve in your mind the God of the Bible or the God of your opinion? Y'all want me to say that again? Is the God you serve in your mind the God of the Bible or the God of your opinion? The more time we spend in the Word of God, the more time we understand who the God of the Bible is, and that is the God we serve. But oftentimes, if we have the idea that God is some vengeful, mean, wrathful God, then we have a distorted view. We don't see the whole picture of who God is. And in a sense, we have created an idol in our mind that we're worshiping. But if we see a God who is loving, kind, gracious, forgiving all the time, then that is the God we worship. But in reality, we serve both of those. We need a complete picture. And to have a complete picture, we have to stay in the Word of God. Now, point number two, wisdom is for everyone. Who needs wisdom? We all do. We all need wisdom. It is for everyone. There in Proverbs 1:1-6. Proverbs is for everyone, for the old, for the young, for the middle aged, for the elderly, and everybody in between. Wisdom is for everyone. James tells us, it's not on the screen, but James tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, we can ask who? God. And he gives it to us without partiality. In other words, he gives it to us freely. Point number three, wisdom has to be searched for. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I forgot to put number 5 up there on the board. Here's the thing. Remember the goal. Well, some of us were alive. Maybe I should be running. The gold rush. Y'all remember the gold rush in history? We'll just put it that way. In American history, does everybody remember the gold rush? What was the old saying? There's gold where? In them there hills. Now, can I tell you that those miners, when they went out there, they called them the what? 49ers. They went out there searching for gold, right? But did it mean that they didn't have to work for it? It wasn't just laying on top of the ground, right? They had to search for it. They had to dig for it. They had to work hard for it. And you know, that's the same way symbolically as the Word of God. The answers to life are right here. And they're not all on top of the cover of your Bible. You can't just look at the top of your Bible sitting on the coffee table and expect answers to pop into your head. You've got to spend time in the Word of God reading and trying to understand it. The more you read and the more you try to understand, guess what God does? Gives light. It gives light. He opens it up through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, these words on the page, become alive in our hearts and minds. Isaiah 55:6 says, search or seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When we're in trouble, when we're facing decisions, we need to trust God, seek God for wisdom. We need to put our all into it. Jeremiah, this is not on the screen. This verse I thought of this morning as I was studying back through my notes. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Wow. Why aren't we very wise sometimes? Maybe because we're not seeking after God. Wisdom, number four, must be asked for. Proverbs 2:3. It says, "Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding." He's telling us here that we need to seek, we need to ask for that understanding. I mentioned James 1:5-8 a while ago. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all how much? Just a little tiny bit. Liberally means what? I've already told y'all about my Parmesan cheese. It's not just a little bit. I want a bunch on there, right? It gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, he's not going to get on to you and belittle you and say, "You should have known this already." He's going to give it to you without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask how? In faith. That when I ask, he's going to answer. Without doubting, God, I know you're going to do it. "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." See, wisdom keeps us from being double-minded. Wisdom must be received. Point number five, wisdom of God must be received, accepted, knowing God's ways are always right. How many of you ever felt God tell you to do something and said, "No, that's not going to work"? Come on, we're in church again. Do you know more than God? Our Bible study lesson this morning talking about the sovereignty and providence of God. That God directs the steps of every person. My Bible tells me that. Does yours? Does that mean you're excluded from his will, his plan? No. If he puts you and me in the same building at the same time, guess what? God got a plan. Now, we must receive wisdom. We must accept wisdom. We must know that when God's leading us and we're following him, he is taking us down the right path, not the wrong way. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to Tim Dudding, but its end is the way of what?" It's the way of death. Why do I want to go my way when God's got a better plan? He's got a better path. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean I'm just going to make it there tomorrow. It might take the rest of my life, but God has a plan, and if I'm following his plan, I'm going to be headed in the right direction. Point number six, wisdom must be applied. That's not hard to figure out, right? We have a bucket full of wisdom over here, but I'm not going to use it. How many of you ever went to the doctor and they told you what was wrong when you gave you the medicine, you went home and didn't take it? That happens many times on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and a Wednesday night. We hear, we read, we study the Word of God, and we get the answers to what God, the questions we have for God, and we go home and say, "Nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that." It must be applied. Point number seven, wisdom must be treasured. Look there at verse 4 again in chapter 2. "If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Must be treasured. Matthew 6:19-21 tells us about wisdom in a very real fact. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourself treasures where? Where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, wisdom tells us that everything here on this earth is temporary. And how many of you would ride down the wind down the road with the wind down and just throw $100 bills out? Nobody would, unless you got a bunch of money. You might do that, but most of us wouldn't do that. But yet, when it comes to the things of God and the wisdom that God has for us, we don't think about it that way. We're not thinking about our treasures in heaven. Where are we thinking about it? Here. Are we doing things God's way here for later? Or do we have a plan and purpose for what we're doing? Are we investing in just what's here? Are we investing in heaven? Point number 8, wisdom will guide you. Chapter 2, verse 8. Talking about wisdom, says, he guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of who? His saints. Now let's get, well, this is a rabbit. Now I'm going to chase it for just a second. Who is a saint? I know all y'all thinking Pope Francis or whatever his name is now. Right? My Bible tells me that if you are saved, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior, that you're a saint of God. Okay? You're a saint. So look at all y'all people sitting out there with halos on your head. He preserves the way of his saints. But listen, if I dig a hole outside the door over here and I put a sign up there and says, do not walk this way, and I barricade it and I said, don't come this way, danger ahead, I put flashing lights, stop signs, and everything else up there, and you just say, I'm not going to listen to him, what's going to happen to you? You're going to fall in that hole. That's what many of us do in our lives when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God says, don't do it, and what we're even going to do? Don't do it anyhow. He says, do it, and we say, no, we're not going to do that. Wisdom protects us. Let me go back to wisdom guide. Psalm 119:105, verse we know very well. Your Word. What is the Word? The Word of God. Your Word is a what? A lamp. It lights the way for my feet. It shows me how to go, where to go, the dangers, the right way, the rocks, the everything else. It shows me. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I don't need to just see what's right here. I need to see what's ahead of me. Right? Have y'all ever done it? Well, down in Florida, where I grew up, there's these things called banana spiders. Anybody know what they are? They get about 4 to 6 inches long, and they make this string that's stronger than fishing line. And they stretch from tree to tree, and you'll be walking around looking just at your feet because you don't want to step on a rattlesnake or a moccasin, right? So you're watching your feet, but then all of a sudden, you look up and what hits you in the face? One of the big old spiders. And then you get caught up and it can't hardly get away from it. I want to see my feet, but I want to see what's coming down the road. You know, God's Word shows us that. It shows us that if we will look and seek Him. Wisdom will protect you. Verses 7 and 8 and 8 of chapter 2 says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. He protects us. Proverbs 1:33. whoever hears, or excuse me, whoever listens to me will dwell in chaos. Will dwell in safety. And will be secure and without fear of evil. Point number 10, wisdom will secure you. Over and over again throughout scriptures, God has promised that those who do things His way will be blessed and dwell safely in the land that God had given to them. I'm going back to verse 33 there. He has given those promises to us, but yet how many of us think we can do it on our own? Point number 11, wisdom will increase your life. We look to science today for answers. Follow pills. Take one of these, you're going to add another 10 years to your life. You're going to look 40 years younger if you use this makeup. Give me a bucket full, right? All these things we search for, and yet what God has already promised us in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Yeah, that honor your father and your who? As the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be what?
Long.
And that you, or that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And I know this is talking about to the Israelites specifically, but can I tell you that if you're an American, you are a blessed person. Right? You are blessed beyond measure. You are blessed in America. One of the highest rates on earth as far as living, length of life, longevity. I think we're fourth or fifth in the world. But it tells us that if we honor, in other words, if we do what God has commanded us to do, then our days here on earth will be long. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. Do I have that? That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. 25:15. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God has given you. In other words, he's saying here, even in Deuteronomy, listen. Do things right. Do things honestly. Do things justly. And that is wise, right? And your days will be lengthened. Why do we need wisdom? Point number 12, we'll wrap up with this. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. It says, for length of days and long life. And what's the next word? Peace, they will add to you. Wisdom doesn't just give you longer days to get things done. Wisdom doesn't just give you a longer length of life on earth. Wisdom gives you peace. But whenever you make a mistake and make a wrong decision, what does it do to you? It eats you up, don't it? You don't have peace when you've made a wrong decision or a wrong action or a wrong choice. Wisdom gives us peace. We need wisdom in order to do things the way that God wants them done. Proverbs 3:7 will close. The problem is most of us have this attitude that I know more than God. I don't need God's help in this situation. I can handle it on my own. What's this verse say? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord brings us peace. That is why we need wisdom. We need wisdom to trust God in every situation. We need wisdom to follow Him, to have faith in Him, to do things the way He has told us to do them. We need wisdom. I said from the beginning of the service today, the wisest thing any of us could do, the wisest choice, is to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the first, most important decision any of us could ever make. But right behind that comes a point where you and I often get off track with God. Amen? We get off track. We're not where we are supposed to be. We know God. We have a relationship with God, but maybe we're not doing things the way He's told us to. Maybe we're being wise in our own eyes and in our own understanding, and we're not following what He has told us to do. And in a very real sense, we're being foolish. And maybe today we need to make the choice that, hey, I'm tired of walking with my feet tied up. I'm tired of walking in the spider webs. Amen? I'm tired of getting caught up in the things of the world. And I want to do things God's way. And I want to walk God's way. And I want to honor and please Him. That is a reverent fear of who God is. I don't know what decision you need to make today, but the altar is open. If you need to trust Christ, I'll try my best to show you the way to know Him. Maybe some of us this morning, or maybe this afternoon, need to just say, Lord, I've walked down the wrong path, and I need to turn around and get back on the path You want me to be on. That's repentance, right? Going one way, and I realize I'm heading the wrong way, and I turn around and I start heading back God's way. That is a wise decision. What do you need to do today? I believe the Lord's already laid it on your heart, and it's up to you to obey. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I do pray, Lord, for the one who maybe here has never trusted You. Maybe they believe in You, but they've never surrendered their life to You. Maybe today's the day they need to get that right. Maybe there's some here today who would say, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, but I haven't been living very wise lately. I need to get back on the path of wisdom. I need to turn things back over to the Lord. And allow Him to have the rights to my life. Or maybe we need to just come before You and just pray for a prayer need that we have in our families. Maybe it's a job decision. Whatever it is, Lord, You know what we're dealing with. So, Lord, I pray that You have Your way as only You can. Lord, I pray that You lead us and guide us and that we would be obedient to You. I pray in Jesus' name.